All right, so we are back. So we'll do that a 5 to 10 minute. I don't know why I closed my iPad.
Why are we timing it?
Did you want to time it?
No.
No? All right.
No. This is just freeform stuff. Okay. We don't have to time anything.
Okay. So let's go from your point of view on my stuff and what maybe I argued well.
I think we're arguing the same thing, but just saying it differently. So my focus was on live events. My focus was on, ticket sales, merchandise, toys and video games. And again, at the end of the day, WWE is not a wrestling company. It's a media entertainment company that happens to do wrestling. And I think that what I was getting at was the WWE knows what its demographic is, but its demographic is broad and it changes, whether it's a cultural shift or a shift in who is watching television. But the WWE always has catered towards families, and it doesn't matter what was on TV. What mattered, I think, in my view, is the whole picture, is that, hey, we want something that the adults can enjoy, but we also want something that adults can enjoy as a family.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think there were times within the history of WWE from the 80s to the Attitude Era, in those two pockets specifically, that go against that principle because they were focused on different things. But once again, WWE doesn't cut the key demographic and then go shift another direction. They pay attention. They wait a while and they see the differences. The only time that they had to, even it wasn't even a dramatic adjustment with the Attitude Era. They were pushing the limits on the silly gimmicked characters even before the NWO became a thing. It just accelerated the process. So, for instance, Goldust made a debut before the NWO became a big factor, and that pushed a lot of boundaries. They had Adrian Adonis, who was the flamboyant gay guy. And sorry, that's what it was. But then you also had your Undertaker, which was more of a menacing character instead of an over-the-top silly character.
Okay. But the WWE is always focused. I'm not talking about kids versus adults. I'm talking about family in general. They're looking at families in general. They've always appealed to the family unit as an essential core piece of what it is that they are. They may have not been, quote, family friendly, but their demographic was family. The 90s was not a family-friendly era.
Right. And wrestling back in the 80s wasn't a family-friendly thing.
No, it wasn't.
It was blue-collar adults or even immigrants searching for a hero in a new place, and that's why San Martino was booked. And then when the 80s started to come around, things became a little more patriotic, so they backed Hogan because Hogan was the... Eat your milk, cereal, bullshit, whatever.
Because that was appealing to families.
It was not appealing to families.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. It was
not pre-Hulkamania Hulk Hogan. He was not.
That's the thing that doesn't... It doesn't matter. What the WWE wants is not... I'm not looking at specific pieces of this overarching demographic of the family unit.
But that's what
the WWE creates a product that appeals to multiple generations at the exact same time. And they have always done that, and they will continue to always do that.
I understand that, but my point is that WWE focuses on different aspects of that generational gap. So they focused on...
Well, yeah, that's all well and good, but at the end of the day, what does the WWE want? They want people to buy multiple tickets to their events, and usually that includes children and adults, and they want to go and get autographs signed. It didn't matter the generation. It didn't matter what the focus was in the ring, what the focus was on TV. What mattered was the fact that people were still buying multiple tickets
when you say kids, what are kids to you? Like your in your mind, the age constriction of a child, like the child of what you're thinking.
So when I'm talking about children in the strictest sense of the word, I'm talking about school aged children. So I'm not talking like 5 or 4 year olds, because they don't have a concept of that sort of stuff.
Right. You're thinking 7 to 7
onwards, 6 or 7 years old onwards.
Are you lumping teenagers into that category?
No, teenagers are a different piece of that yes. category. But the point is that the parents and the kids would go together to these events no matter what era it was, because the WWE was focusing on the experience of the entire family regardless of what was happening on TV.
I'm still going to disagree with you. I can't see it, because when you look into the crowd in the – now, because that's really what they want to. They want to pack the house full of people because that looks better on television as well. The demographic on television is adjusting just as much, and it's still doing it now. They look at that. So when it's a more teenage-centered thing, then they look at teenagers. If they look at more adults, they focus on more adults. They don't give a shit about kids in those circumstances.
Yeah, they do. The kids are the ones that buy the most merchandise, whether it's the toys or the video games or whatever the case may be. It is the children, whether it's 5 to 11, you know, those are the ones that buy the most shit.
Yeah, but if that was the case, and I agree with you that the push for specific merchandise befalls upon children.
Yeah.
Because
the children are the ones that buy the toys.
The kids don't buy it because they can't.
Right.
But the kids
will influence the parents to buy. And merch sales were still high in the Attitude Era, regardless of what the demographic
was. Because they had a different thing for those.
Right.
Yeah, they had action figures, but they also did like collection based figures.
Collective, I don't. And see, that's another thing too. Is I don't know. I don't know if collecting things besides Beanie Babies was all that popular.
It was. WWE had multiple lines of things for certain gears. I think they were the first ones to sort of incorporate special or chase figures into a specific lineup. I think Beanie Babies did that first because they had specific bears for certain holidays.
Right.
That was a technical chase. So they started to do that more collection-based because, I'm sorry, when like in the Attitude Era, they had stuff for kids, but there were a lot of adults who outright refused to have children watch their programming. And they did that. They made fun of that weird group with Right to Censor.
Yeah.
They made fun of them because they said, we'll never have our kids watch it. And they literally did calls on air back, I think, in the early 90s.
Oh, I know.
Of parents saying, I'm not going to let my kid watch it because it's something that I don't approve of. They don't care about the kids in those circumstances. They care about the adults because the adults are going to say, yes, you can watch wrestling, or no, you can't watch wrestling.
And you know, the thing is that I look at our personal experience. Our parents never disallowed us from watching wrestling, regardless of what was going on.
Right.
It's kind of like watching a cartoon.
Well, you and I went through a much different metamorphosis as it relates to that, because we were born in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
We were 90s kids. And I think our parents...
Everything in the 90s was a little edgy.
Right.
A little grungy.
Everything.
We're products of boomers, and boomers were raised in a very different sort of household. The point is, though, is that children were still going to WWE shows. They were still buying WWE
merchandise. Yeah, but not to the same volume. I think more teenagers went with their buddies and said, hey, can we get some wrestling tickets? The adults said, okay, I don't give a shit. I'm not going with you, but take some fucking friends. I think there was more of that. There was more of an edginess towards thing with children. And you can even see in the crowd, even back then, they were generally older. They were preteen teenagers.
Okay.
Now,
so again, you're talking about preteens as well. Now, technically,
Preteens is a weird spot. Like 13 to 15, I would say are preteens.
No, that's maybe 10 to 13. Is a teenager. So I, you know, again, when I'm talking about children, I'm not talking about 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds because they don't have any concept of this. I'm talking about people who are 6, 7, 8 onwards. They're still
when you say onwards, where's your cutoff
for children? Yes. 13. That's when you become a teenager.
So you don't even consider preteen as a specific demographic in this circumstance?
Well, you know, again, preteen is you never know when that phase starts.
Right. It starts different for everybody. I can agree with you on that.
Maybe it's like middle schoolers. So there were elementary schoolers, though, that were into the wrestling product.
In the night, well, yeah. I mean, but you can't just say fuck you to the kids.
Right, but again, that was just a general pervasiveness of the culture at the time. Parents were a little more accepting of children doing
this. No, they were not. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they were.
There were huge parental groups that were against the WWE during the 90s, and they were banned in multiple places for a minute up until they saw the numbers on the Nielsen ratings when they were getting 7 million viewers a fucking episode. Sort of raw,
and again, that's certain. Again, that's a cultural backlash to what is occurring. But that always happens. There's always going to be a cultural backlash.
Yeah, we see it now. There are a lot of adults that say, "Oh, I want it back in the '90s," but I'm like, it's not going to happen.
But again, the general pervasiveness of the culture. That is just the general pervasiveness of the culture.
Yes,
and they've always their core demographic has always been people who would buy tickets for families. That's always been their core. That's always been at the heart of what, because WWE, any wrestling product is a multi-generational product.
Yes, it's been around that far. It's been around since the early 50s, if you want to go that far.
So even in the Attitude Era, there were still quite a few kids who were influenced very heavily by the WWE.
Oh, of course. I'm not saying that I disagree with you on that, but their focus was not on families. It was on something different.
Right, and I'm not talking about what they focus on. I'm talking
about... That was my whole point. They had children... at least something to grasp onto, even within the Attitude.
Right,
I can agree with you.
But WWE never lost sight of what made them successful. Whether it's immigrant families, whether it is families with children who were born in the late 80s, who were born 90s, you know, who were early 90s kids at the time, whether it's us who was born in the later, you know, who kind of grew up in the later Attitude Era into the Ruthless Aggression. There has always been that general sense of WWE is committed to being a multi-generational product. There's never been a point in time when they were not thinking about the multi-generationalness of a certain product.
And you see, with wrestling, there's such this different thing. And I think it's hard to say because you have to focus on all of those different things to make your counteractive points.
Now, WWE is not like most wrestling companies. Most wrestling companies will go with exactly what you're saying. Right. WWE is a little bit different. Because they are not a wrestling company. They are an entertainment company that happens to be in the business of professional wrestling.
Well, we focus on WWE because it's the biggest example of, I think, both of our points.
Right.
Because WWE, number one, has been around the longest.
Right.
I mean, I think like a company maybe as tuned to TNA, they're not even 20 years old.
Right.
So you don't have maybe even that second or third generation unless that person watched Dusty Rhodes, Jeff Jarrett, and all of the hoopla in early TNA.
Right.
I mean, AJ Styles started his career in WCW. WCW was more of a multi-generational thing than even TNA was because of Georgia Championship Wrestling and Jim Crockett Promotions.
Right.
That predecessed World Championship.
Right.
So we don't see that right now on any of these other companies. They do it based on that. I think WWE still does that.
Yeah, but again, my point being is that their focus and their intention changes because the family itself changes throughout time.
Yes.
There are things that are acceptable. There are things that are not acceptable. And we were a product of that.
The Attitude Era kids, and that was their biggest time in the world of wrestling, have families now.
Right.
So when those children grow up, because it will ebb and flow again.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they never always, my point is that WWE may have had the little nugget in the back of their head saying, oh, don't forget kids. Because every company worth their weight in salt are going to be thinking about that because that's what people want.
And see, here's what differentiates WWE from AEW. Is that
AEW has only been around for 3 years.
But AEW is very much focused on a single demographic.
Yes. They're focused on a single demographic. Absolutely.
And you
because that's what people start for.
It's reflected in the relative lack of thought when it comes to other products. Because AEW has their rights as their rights and trademarks and stuff, they're structured a little bit differently. WWE, they create the character and they change the names and they do all this because they're not just focusing on the in-ring work. They're focused on other opportunities that that character brings in, like the merchandise and stuff like that.
I have to disagree with you on that one, too. I mean, I would say, were there a lot of people buying Duke the Dumpster Drozzy shit? No. He was a fucking truck driver. Who cares? Or he was a trash guy. Who the fuck cares?
But how long ago was that?
That was the early 90s to the mid-90s. That was during the New Generation era.
Okay, so...
But the people at the main event, that was my point.
Yeah.
My point was is that the main event was not catering to kids. And
it wasn't family-friendly, but it was always at the back of the mind. It was always because there were kids running around with NWO shirts. There was kids doing Stone Cold.
And NWO was different. NWO changed the landscape of that era. It accelerated what naturally happens with WWE.
Right. But think about everything else that's been going on in the 90s as well. Think about all the cartoons and stuff in the 90s.
Right.
They were very edgy compared to the cartoons today.
Right.
Everything was edgy in the 90s.
Right.
That was just pervasiveness of the culture. But the WWE never lost sight of that core demographic. That was my point. They never lose sight of it. They have always been a multi-generational product. And so they're...
Well, you can't be a multi-generational product when you start, because that's impossible.
Right. But even today, the reason that WWE is the way that it is today is because of the general pervasiveness of the culture.
Okay.
That is why it's the way it is.
I can understand that. So I think we actually made some pretty good points on both ends.
I think so. I think both of us, at the end of the day, are right in our own ways.
Mm-hmm. I think so. So we are going to pass a question on to you. What do you think? Do you agree with my thing, or do you agree with Peanut Gallery's thing?
Or are you somewhere in the middle?
Right. Comment down below, or message us, or do whatever. Follow us on all of our social media. Become a patron. Next week, we're covering the Royal Rumble and everything Royal Rumble.
Woohoo!
Yeah. My favorite. It's one of my favorite times of the year, and I think I'm seeing that now with Raw and SmackDown and shit. So, thank you all for listening or watching, and as always, be...
majestic.
Welcome to the 40th edition of Make Pro Wrestling Majestic Again. I am Tiger Height.
And I am Peanut Gallery.
So, we were going to be doing a review on the first Terminus event, but when I saw the footage and how it was lit, it was just awful. It was a horrible production from basically beginning to end. Nobody was talking about it, and I'm like, you know what? Screw this. We're going to do something a little more interesting.
Yeah, I find it really interesting that not a lot of people were talking about it after the event. This is supposed to be the debut of a brand new promotion, right?
Yeah.
And I did find it quite interesting, actually, that it wasn't very well talked about.
Yeah, because it was kind of lame. I mean, there were maybe 60 people in the stands itself. It looked like they like rented out like a church.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, when you have a promotion in this day and age,
right,
there is an expectation, especially since
it's going to be on Fight TV. You would expect to meet a certain set of rules and standards.
I think Fight TV needs to double check on stuff like that. It's like, well, it's a smaller promotion. Well, what about the NWA? You can still do decent lighting and have everything else bad, but it was not lit well. There were two spotlights doing this. That was it.
Right.
None of the entrances were working. The camera angles were just horrid. Mm-hmm. It was just a horrible production.
Right.
But... due to, we were wanting to do these debates for a while, but we have show after show after show. But let's do this.
Okay.
And the question that was presented does WWE change their focus demographic based on generation? Mine is yes. I think they mold and adjust, and I think they do target different audiences based on certain eras. Pina Gallery disagrees with this.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about this, I want to at least have this. You'll start first.
Okay.
And I'll give you 10 minutes. And then okay. I will have 10 minutes uninterrupted. We'll do a break, and then we will maybe do another 10, 15 minutes for a free-form discussion, and that will be the debate.
Okay.
So, before we get into this is not Capital Wrestling Corporation. This is when Vince McMahon Jr. takes over the company in 1982.
Right.
And they're on. So, we're not talking about, you know, pre-Hulk Hogan era, because that was McMahon's first big thing.
Right.
So, Pina Gallery, I have one picture for you because there has to be something visual there. It's just a little thing.
Okay.
Because I think the overall thing is.
And you have pictures for your.
I have different pictures because number one, I prepared for it. But also number two, I think I need to illustrate it a little bit better.
Okay.
Because you're the one who says that the standard is the same.
Yes.
From 1982 to present day wrestling, they've always focused on one key demographic.
Yes.
For me, I need to have multiple because I'm the one that's discerning that.
Right.
So, Pina Gallery, 10 minutes starts now.
Okay, so, essentially the WWE has always had, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what era it's in, whether it's the 80s wrestling boom, whether it's the Attitude Era, whether it's Ruthless Aggression, or whether it's the modern, if you want to call it the modern PG era. But really, I believe that the focus of whatever WWE has been has always been the same. And I'm not saying it from the perspective of, well, let's look at the content. We have to go beyond whatever the content says. We have to go beyond whatever the television product is, because as we have discussed, the WWE does not see itself as a wrestling promotion. It sees itself as an entertainment company that happens to be in the business of professional wrestling. So with that being said, you have to look at the other products that the WWE has offered. You have to look at the t-shirts, you have to look at the action figures, you have to look at the video games, you have to look at the any of the rights that these wrestlers perform in that WWE owns. You have to take that into consideration. There has never been a point in time, even during the Attitude Era, when the WWE stopped producing video games. There's never been a point in time when they stopped producing toys and other merchandise that appeals to generations that are marketably different, in my opinion, to the product that is being presented on TV. So let's take, for example, toys. Even during the Attitude Era, they still did a toy line, which if you're looking at it from an angle of, well, it's appealing to young adults only, but that's not the case. There's always going to be a certain demographic of young children that are watching this product as well. And the WWE has never strayed away from the general idea that families are at the center of the WWE experience. There has never been a point in time when parents have said, oh, we can't go to WWE events. It's too whatever the case may be. They've always been that sort of environment that would appeal to families. And ultimately, that is what the WWE looks at as a company focused on entertainment, is that you want to create an experience that everybody is going to enjoy, regardless of what kinds of things are happening on television. So, looking at the wrestling boom, of course, you had the larger-than-life characters. You had the Hulk Hogans and the Randy Savages and whatevers of the world back in the 80s. And they were big merchandise movers. Even when things got a little bit raunchy after the early 1990s era of professional wrestling, there was still room in there for the colorful characters. What changed was not the WWE's target demographics. What changed was the general attitude of the era at the time. And the WWE adjusts based upon not their need to chase after the most popular demographic. It's based on the general consensus of the 1990s at the time. And then what I can attest to with this is the fact that we grew up watching wrestling in that era. And there was nothing stopping us from watching that because we were a product of the 90s, essentially. And the 90s, no matter what was going on in the 90s, it was always there's that general attitude, that general sense of that grunginess, and it permeated all aspects of life at that time. And what many people see it as is a counter to the parents of the ideas of the parents being raised in a certain way back in the 60s. So you have the parents who were born and raised in the 60s and 70s, and they were exposed to a certain attitude about a lot of different things. You compare that to the 90s, where parents wanted to raise their children perhaps a little bit differently. So it was just a pervasive attitude at the time that WWE sought to exploit. But they never lost sight of the fact that their primary demographic is the family, is just families with children. And we know this because of their cultural shift based on what happened in the 90s. The WWE, as an organization, became the Attitude Era not because of its need to change the demographics, demographic-wise, because if you look, the WWE demographic really did not change all that much. Their core did not change all that much. You still had families watching the WWE even when the product itself was bad. The product itself was not the primary motivating factor for the WWE to change. It was their need to expand beyond what they had been essentially used to. It's the competition factor that WCW had forced WWE's hand into. The WWE was about to go bankrupt. And so they had to make a shift towards the culture of the time, and the culture of the time was the grunge era. They didn't do it because they wanted the young audience. They made the change because WCW was gaining momentum and WWE was seeing itself as kind of that backwards thing, something that the family didn't go to. And even the WCW was very family friendly in that context. Now fast forward to the Ruthless Aggression era, and they dialed it back just a little bit. And the reason for that dialing back is because of the changing demographics in television. And we dialed it back even more to today, where it's all PG now, because the WWE is still trying. Well, they're very successful at what they do, but they still look at the appeal of the primary demographic that they go after, and that is families. So, for example, in the late 2000s, you had a shift towards more women watching television in general. This was just something that was seen in general. More women were watching primetime television than in past decades. And so the WWE had to cater a product towards that feel. The family dynamic changed to where now women were watching the product. And so they appealed more towards women. And you fast forward even to very close to today.
You have 2 minutes.
Where now you have young girls watching the product. And so you had to change. So my conclusion is that the WWE did not change based on the demographics. They did not want to appeal to a certain demographic. They knew who their demographic was. But the demographic itself was changing. The market forces were changing the nature and structure of families. And the WWE has always made strides towards reacting to that mechanism of being marketable to families, no matter what generation, no matter what market forces were occurring at the time. It has always been, at the core of it, a family-friendly sort of event that you go to. And that's kind of where I want to leave it.
Okay. 50 seconds left on that, but okay.
Perfect.
That's fine. I'm going to start the clock over with mine. I'm not even going to bother actually turning it off as it relates to this part, because it's more so of something that's going to be freeform. So I'm going to start my timer as well. I'm going to look at this a ton. So if you want to just let me know when it's ready.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Go.
So I know we're not going to be directly talking about the pre-Titan Sports Inc. based professional wrestling that Vince McMahon Sr. and Toots Montz ran, but when Vince McMahon took over the company, there was still that key demographic there, because what happens is that WWE, and I think there is a point that you made that I will agree with you on, that they do look at demographics on what's working. And in this current generation, in the early 80s, when they hired on Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Snuka and Don Morocco, Roddy Piper and stuff like that, what they were trying to do is focus on immigrants, because Bruno Sammartino was the biggest star in there, and he was not supposed to be a family-friendly kid wrestler. Because wrestling at that time was a sport for poor individuals to go and get entertainment, because they couldn't afford boxing. That was the difference. Hulk Hogan had Hulkamania when he was in the AWA that Vern Gagne actually started, but it wasn't the Hulk Hogan that we know now. It was different. And when Hulk Hogan won this belt, they did not fully embrace the Hulkamania thing, because Hulk Hogan represented America going up against the Iron Sheik. It was a immigrant, pro-USA-based demographic of an older audience. These are the blue-collar workers that got off of work and went to Madison Square Garden because they weren't touring at this time, focusing on that. And that was their focus. And as time went on, they started to focus on the family-friendly, but also they got big attention, because when Hulk Hogan was hired, he was in Rocky III before. So they wanted to go after pop culture. And they did, with the Rockin' Wrestling Connection era from the 80s, from the mid-80s to the early 90s. That was when Cyndi Lauper and Captain Lou Albano, and they had Mr. T and Andre the Giant, these larger-than-life wrestlers, that then that point, then they started to cater more towards children. I mean, they had action figures in the early 80s and even in the 70s, but they weren't the action figures that we know now. This is where they started to do this, because television became a lot more available and a lot cheaper for individuals. So when WWF started to do their global expansion and their national expansion at this time, they needed that pop culture. And it didn't matter the age or anything like that. The fact that they got Cyndi Lauper on there when she put out Girls Just Want to Have Fun, that's not a kid thing. That's an adult thing. They wanted to have those adults that grew up and maybe even watching those old wrestling to go. They were focused on the adults at that time, not maybe particularly the children. The adults were like, hey, kids, this is something that I watched when I was young, and then they brought them in. And when they were expanding, they had to be more generalized, because WWE was buying out all of these places, and they had to cater to the general United States pop culture, because if they didn't and only focused on the wrestling that they did up in New York, they would have failed. So they had to change it up by making the brighter colors and the larger than lifes and having the big marquee stuff. So the adjustment was there from the general immigrants to the overall basis of pop culture and the people who grew up watching wrestling in one way or another, because they never saw wrestling promoted like this, maybe in Texas, but they never saw wrestling promoted like in a cartoon or in movies or in music videos with some of the biggest icons in pop culture at that time. Nobody saw that. So then as that sort of developed and winded down, because the steroid trials, and once again, you brought up another good point, that WWE has been very masterful on adjusting to current situations. And they had to adjust because of the steroid trials. And also, the standards of wrestling were changing. You had to do something more to be relevant.
You got 5 minutes left.
Okay. So then they had some of the more colorful characters, because now those kids are older and they needed to do something maybe a little bit different. And so they did like they tried to go back to the blue collar worker guys, the older individuals, or even kids who look up to their parents as role models. So that's why they had those. But at the main events, you had Undertaker, where they were pushing the limits a little bit on this gimmick, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. You get the point. So they were focusing on a different demographic. But then you go to the Attitude Era. I'm going to disagree with you wholeheartedly. I think you're right that they had to adjust to the NWO, but they weren't focused on kids because they only had action figures. That's not what they were looking at. Instead of going after kids, 5 to 12 or 13, they were going for the people who went into talking and also the people who went on the internet. The 10-year-olds aren't going on the internet this time. It was the 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds that were promoting this and buying the shirts and doing all of this stuff, and that's what they were focused on, and that's why they pushed the limits on the more serious stuff. They still had some fun comedy stuff, but the main focal point was grunge and hardcore and stuff like that, because that's what they wanted and that's what they had to do to survive against, WCW, and at a lesser point, even ECW. Then you go to the ruthless aggression, where it was good technical solid wrestling. So people were getting a little bit smarter. They wanted the marks to watch wrestling at this time. So they had the Kurt Angles and Eddie Guerrero's and Rey Mysterio's and et cetera that were really promoted, but that's not kids. Those were adults, and adults wanted to watch those guys because they grew up on them watching it. But then they started to go towards the kids again because marks were watching other forms of wrestling because they were becoming big. They went back to that because that's what they want to, because you're right. Toy sales is a big push. And merchandise is a big push, just like television shows. So, but then WWE had the alternative of NXT, where it was still a WWE product, but you got that big stuff, or you got that indie stuff, what they were trying to push. Unfortunately, they were successful, but they just didn't pull the gun strictly on it. How much time do I have?
You have about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, okay, so I have plenty of time. With this, they were trying to be more diverse in their demographic-wise, because they knew that there were still a lot of people from the Ruthless Aggression era who were watching these alternatives around 2002 to 2008 with Ring of Honor, with TNA. They were aware of these companies, and they were aware of the popularity of them. So these individuals would watch NXT because they were signing the people from those companies, like your Adam Cole's, like your Undisputed Era, as an example. All of them were watched somewhere else, and New Japan people, because then the internet started to expand the horizons of what wrestling was. They still wanted adults to watch because adults would have it on television, and the kids would watch it along with the adults. So I think I'm probably going to conclude it here really soon. How much time again?
You got under a minute and a half.
Okay. So I'm going to wrap it up here too. So overall, WWE still is looking at different demographics of focus. They still do promote to children because what the great thing about wrestling in general, but WWE is very good about this, is that they have a diverse amount.
1 minute left.
Okay. They have a diverse amount of characters and people for certain situations, and people will pay attention to that. The main event scene ain't going to have kids watching it to the extent, I think the Attitude Era kind of devolved that. But I still think it's going to ebb and flow, and I think we're still seeing that today. We're going to be going through a transition, especially with NXT as the biggest priority right now, as a part of that transition from that grunginess to the more colorful stuff that they want to do, maybe with kids, maybe without kids. They just put a new coat of paint on it, and that's going to be my point. I'm done.
All right. Perfect.
So when we come back, we'll do maybe a 5 to 10 minute open discussion about our points, and then we will leave the open question to you after this break.